was a good man. He loved his wife. All in all, he lived a quiet and decent life. He helped his neighbor. He raised his kids. But trusting Jesus is one thing he never did. It's true, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. For not by our good works are sin and death erased. It's by Jesus' blood alone we're forgiven and atoned. Through our faith we're saved by grace. Through our faith we're saved by grace. Yes, we should follow where Jesus trod and make ourselves a living sacrifice to God. But still we stumble as mortal men. Praise Jesus' name, he paid the debt for every sin. We stand condemned under the law.
That's the only way to be saved, right? Is by faith through grace in Christ Jesus. You know, God's never predestined anyone to heaven or hell, but he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And I'm here to tell you today, folks, salvation is the one that, listen, it is the most wonderful thing that could ever happen in your life. I hope you often think about where you were prior to salvation and where you are now. And I think if you'll examine them closely, you'll find out that you are much better off now than you were prior to salvation. And I've never understood a person that said they had it better lost than they did saved. They're not looking at it from the Bible perspective, and they're certainly not looking at it from the Lord's perspective. God bless you for being here this morning. Take your Bible, if you would, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. We're going to read one verse together this morning. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. You'll recognize it once you get there. I'm going to take one verse out of a message to a church called the Church of the Laodiceans. The Church of the Laodiceans was a very self-indulging church. It was a very self-centered church. It was a very selfish church. It wasn't about others, it was about themselves. It was about what they wanted. And I want to take a verse today that Jesus spoke to this church. And I want you to examine this verse with me this morning. If you would stand with me, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. By the way, the Laodicean church kind of pictures kind of where we are today. Kind of gives kind of a synopsis of where the local church of the living God is today. Too many of us, listen to me folks, I told my Sunday school class, in the church of the living God today we got too many celebrities and not enough servants. It's about the pat on the back now. It's about the name in the local paper. It's about what? It's about the name on the headlines of the conferences now. And I'm not against conferences. I'm not against that. But folks, if that's what I'm here for, and that's what you're here for, we are out of tune with God. Jesus came into this world not to be ministered to, but to minister. We got this thing backwards. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Here's what the Lord says. Behold, I, Jesus said, stand at the door and knock. This is a big word, this next word. If. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, I want you to notice there for our message this morning, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I've entitled the message this morning, Someone's at the Door. Someone's at the Door. Father, bless our time. Open our hearts, our mind, our spirit to receive your word. And we'll certainly be careful to give you the glory for every result that shall take place in this auditorium this morning. Every heart stirred, every soul saved, every person who comes with a repentant heart to turn back to you and serve you with all their heart, soul, and mind. Have your way now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I was out knocking doors and soul winning. By the way, let me explain to those of you that are visiting this morning, soul winning is a Bible command. You say, what's soul winning? It's winning souls. That's what it is. And you know, every believer is commanded to do that. Now, the thing about it is, if we're going to win souls, it's going to take work. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. But I was out knocking some doors and doing some soul winning a few weeks ago, and I knocked on a door where there were kids in the house. I could hear the kids playing, and I knocked on the door, and there was a window right beside the door. And the kids came to the window, and they peeked out from the curtains to see who it was, and I heard them, they closed the curtains, and I heard them run to the back of the house, and I heard them say, Mom, someone's at the door. About a few seconds later, they came back to the window. They pulled the curtains back apart, and they said, who is it? What do you want? I told them who I was and what I was there for. They closed the curtains. They were gone for a few more seconds. I could hear them back in there say, Mom, it's a preacher from the church. They came back to the window, pulled the curtains back, said, Mama said she's too busy. She can't come to the door right now. Now, I didn't push the issue. I just left a track on the door. And I thought to myself as I walked away from that door, the words of those kids, Mama, someone's at the door. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to come and find out who's at the door. I'm too busy to come and find out what the preacher wanted. You see, as I walked away from that door, those words rung in my head, and I thought, here's a lady that's too busy for her own good. She's too busy about the things that aren't going to matter a hill of beans when it comes to eternity. And literally, she's too busy to answer the door to Jesus. So I walked away from that door thinking, you know what? That kind of depicts a lot of us today. You see, do you have as many people knock at your door as I do? I don't know how many times a week I've got people, but I've always got somebody knocking on my door. It doesn't matter whether I'm eating supper, doesn't matter whether I'm eating lunch, doesn't matter if I'm in there enjoying time with my family. I've always got people knocking at my door. I'll go to the door, find out who it is. Could be a salesman. They want me to subscribe to a subscription to the Star Telegram or to a magazine. Or it's a starving college student that's on his last leg when he comes to my house. And sir, if you don't subscribe, I'm going to miss out on my college education. The problem is the filth that he wants me to subscribe to, I can't. And so it's usually somebody selling something, or maybe it's a knock on the door. I go, this time now he wants me to hook up with either a cable, or he wants to put a satellite on my roof, or a somebody selling something. Maybe it's food. Now we're talking. He's selling steaks or chicken. Now I'm going to listen to that guy, right? What do you got? And I always love it because I always want to give you a sample. So I'll walk out to the truck, and man, I'll eat me a piece of steak, or I'll eat me a piece of chicken, and I'll enjoy it. And he says, what do you think? I said, man, that's great. We got one problem. What's that problem? I ain't got no money. I can't buy it. The countenance falls on their face. Okay, thank you, sir. I said, but boy, that chicken sure was good though, man. When next time you're coming back through, my neighbor would stop by. I might have some money, but I need to sample it again. Or maybe there's someone knocks on my door and it's a utility guy. He wants in my backyard. He's got to trim the trees away from the power lines. Or maybe there's a knock that comes to my door and there's a kid, a next door neighbor. He wants to get his ball out of my backyard. Or he wants to get something he's thrown over my fence on purpose so he can come knock on my door and get in my backyard. Maybe there's a knock that comes at your door like it does mine. I open the door and there's a cult there. Somebody trying to push false religion. Somebody trying to do something to discredit the Bible and Jesus Christ. I notice there's a common denominator, a lot of people that knock my door. The common denominator is they always want something. Do you know, I've been living in my house now for 20-some-odd years, and I cannot remember one time that anyone ever knocked on my door and says, Mr. Lassiter, yes, I've got something I want to give you. Did you know that? I never have. Now, you may have, but I've never experienced that. I've never experienced someone knocking on my door saying, I want to give you something. But I've had a lot of people knock on my door, want my money, or my time, or me to listen. Now, the picture we have here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, this is not a salesman knocking. This is not a kid knocking. This is not a cult knocking. This is not the cable man knocking. This is not the Star Telegram guy knocking. This isn't the starving college student knocking. This is Jesus knocking. He's knocking. And the Bible says, he says, I stand at the door. What's that door? I believe that here in Scripture, that door is symbolic and pictures the heart of man. And he's standing there knocking on your heart's door. So how do you know that, preacher? Well, according to Song of Solomon, verse chapter 5, verse number 2, the Scripture says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. You see, if you know anything about Song of Solomon, it's a wonderful picture of God and the people of Israel, or Jesus and the church. And Jesus is knocking at our heart's door. You see, a door is nothing more, my friend, than a passageway into a house or a room in which we enter. Many of you have seen the old picture that still some of you may have in your home. And it shows Jesus in this nice, quaint setting, a garden-looking setting, with a door and a lantern hanging by that door. And he's standing at the door, and he's knocked on that door. Now, the unusual thing about that door is there is no knob on the outside of the door. You notice that? In that picture tells us something very important. That though Jesus is knocking, he will never force entry. It has to be open. That's the reason he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door. If any man hear my voice and open the door. You see, he's knocking at the door of every heart this morning. How important is this door? How important is your heart this morning? So important that the Scripture says, Proverbs 4, verse 23, you'll recognize it. The Scripture says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart and out of my heart is where we process our decisions. It's out of where we process our abilities to discern. It's where we process our desires. And Jesus says, I'm knocking because I want entry into your heart. Now for the message this morning, I'm going to give you some very, very simple guidelines that your mother or your father gave you as a child when someone was knocking at the door. Here's advice number one and instruction number one that they gave you, just like my parents gave me. Number one, always identify who's at the door. You see, when I was knocking at the door, those kids came to the door, they looked out of the curtains, who is it? And what do you want? Well, I told them who I was and what I wanted. You see, that's good advice. They came, they checked out who I was and what I wanted. You see, so many of us sometimes, the door, somebody knocks on our door and we just go, we don't check anything out. We just open the door and let in whoever is out there. And folks, that the Bible talks about that being careless is what that is. That's careless. You see, you might say, Brother Todd, how do I know if somebody's knocking at my heart's door? Well, did you know God installed you with an internal doorbell to know when someone's knocking? It's called your conscience. And every time somebody comes knocking at your door, you know what your conscience does? It serves as a doorbell. Bing bong. There's someone at the door. Now the thing about it is, here's your choice. You can just go and open the door, wide open, or you can identify who's at the door. You can find out who is it that's knocking my door. Well, in this particular case, did not Jesus identify himself who was knocking? He said, behold, I am. It's the Lord that's knocking here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. You say, well, how do I identify who's at the door? Same way these kids did. Open the curtains and look. Just look. See who's at the door. You know, folks, there's a reason they put a peephole in the door, so that you can check out who's on the other side of the door before you open it up. That's the reason in our life that when someone comes knocking at the door, don't just open the door. Find out who it is and correctly identify who it is and what they want. So how do I do that? Well, you got a Bible. You see, because the people that come knocking at your heart's door isn't always a person. Ain't always a person. And sometimes it's not easy, they're not easily identified. Because you know, if I knock on a door and I'm standing there, there's kids look at me, and that particular day I was in a suit, I could have been a preacher. I could not have been a preacher. I might have been somebody else. And you know what? I could have lied to them. I could have said, hey, I'm from Publishers Clearing House. You won. You won. Now I could have lied and told them something else. But here I'm here to tell you that, folks, look. Correctly identify who is outside the door knocking. So you need to look and you need to ask. Because there's going to come a knock at your door and it's not necessarily a person. And you need to say from Scripture, who is it and what do you want? Who is it and what do you want? Ask yourself, should I be talking to this person? Moms and dads, do you want your children carrying on a conversation with someone through the door or through the window that you have no idea who they are? Or if you do know who they are, you've already instructed them not to associate with them, do you still want them communicating with them? Of course not. You don't want your children communicating with someone that shouldn't be there. You see, this is part of your guard system. You've got to protect your heart. Always identify who is at the door. May I say to you secondly? Let me give you the second bit of advice that you have probably, parents, taught your kids. You've probably told them multiple times. Always identify who's at the door. And then the second thing you told them right after that is never open the door to strangers. Never open the door to strangers. That's the reason that you and I have a choice of whether to open or not to open the door. Isn't it sad today in Christendom when believers are so far away from God that when He knocks and speaks, they can't even identify Him? They can't identify His person. They can't identify His voice. Now, I want all the kids and teenagers to look up here at me for just a moment. How many times, parents, has there come a knock at your door and your little one ran straight to the door and started turning the knob? That happened to me just a few days ago. Knocked on the door, I could hear the kids run to the door, and I could see the doorknob turning. They were trying to open the door. Thank God, there were like 15 bolts on that door. Because, you know what, the parent knew that kids have the tendency to open the door to anybody. They have the tendency to open the door to anybody. Now, kids and teenagers, listen to me. Kids will open the door to just about anybody. The knock comes, they go, they open, and they ask questions later. You see, that's the reason, young people, that's the reason, teenagers and some single adults, that's the reason that many of you are in the predicament that you're in, because when the door came and someone knocked, your mom and dad had already told you, don't open the door to strangers. You've heard your pastor or your youth pastor teach you and tell you, do not open the door to strangers. The knock came, you open the door, and now you are where you are today. Because you opened the door to just about anybody. Hey, I can still hear it. Mama, someone's at the door. Who is it? And what do you want? She's too busy. She's too busy to come and answer the door right now. You see, never open the door to strangers. Can I throw something else out there to you? Let me just make a statement here. Your spiritual condition usually dictates who comes knocking. Your spiritual condition and my spiritual condition usually dictates who comes knocking. For instance, people that are locked up and hooked up on drugs, they know where to go find them, right? They know whose door to go knock. Because that person's condition dictated who came knocking. And so I'm here to tell you that our spiritual condition usually dictates who comes knocking. Let me give you a perfect illustration of this. Turn, if you would, all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. Turn to Genesis chapter 4 for just a second. Remember the offerings of Cain and Abel? Remember Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was rejected because he didn't follow the instructions of God? I want you to notice what the Lord says to him in verse 7. He tells Cain, after he throws a fit because God didn't accept him the way he was, he throws a fit and God says, now hang on here just a minute, Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth, where, church? It's laying at the door. It's laying at the entranceway. You see who's at the door? Sin is. What brought sin to his door? His condition brought sin to the door. It was his spiritual condition. And guess who was knocking at his door? Sin was. Your spiritual condition and my relationship with the Lord dictates who comes knocking. That's important, church, why we must keep a relationship with Jesus Christ. Door-to-door salesmen will tend to gravitate toward higher income neighborhoods. Ever notice that? Now, let me tell you why they gravitate to higher income neighborhoods. It's because outwardly, these higher income neighborhoods seem to be financially in good financial condition to buy. Big house, nice cars, manicured lawn equals money. And so a salesman, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that they're probably going to have a better chance of making a sale to them than they would the folks that live on the other side of the tracks. Right? So guess what they do? They gravitate toward the higher income neighborhoods. They feel the opportunity to make a sale is greater. So guess what? Who is it? Sin. What do you want? I want you. Come on out. Having fun out here. Now, wait a minute now. Why would it continually come knocking at your door? Why would things come knocking at your door? It may be because that who's ever on the other side of that door has already sized your spiritual condition up. They've already figured out who you are, what you are, where you're going, the type of people you hang around with, and they've got you sized up. So guess what they're going to come do? Because they just put two and two together. You know what they think they're going to do? They think that somehow they're going to make a sale. They're going to find you, and they're going to sell to you, and you're going to buy. You see, just as the salesman is lured by the big homes, the nice cars, may I say to you today, dear folks, that your life will lure door knockers as well. You're telling everybody who you are by your lifestyle. And because of your lifestyle and how you live and your spiritual condition, you're telling everyone you're telling what groups of people to come and knock at your door. Say, who are these people knocking at my door? If my relationship with God is not right, who's going to come knocking at my door, preacher? Well, let me give you a couple of... Let's just start with the devil to begin with. All right? Let's just start with Lucifer to begin with. Let's just start with the accuser. All right? Let's start with the one who would just as soon see you dead than alive. And if you're going to live and God's going to spare your life, He'd just soon see your life totally messed up, totally strung out on self, totally strung out on the world, anything but Jesus. He's going to come knocking. He'll be your first candidate. You say, well, I'll pick him out in a heartbeat. I'm not opening my door to him. Well, who is it? None of your business. Open up. The voice sounds familiar, but I'm not sure who it is. It's your buddy. Open up. It's me. You see, sometimes it's not as easy to discern who's at the door because it may come in the form of vices. You see, it may come in the form of vices that have been destroying you or have destroyed you in the past, that may have brought you down in the past. So it may be vices that knock the door. It may be pride that knocks the door. He seems to be one of a very frequent knocker. You see, because sometimes he's not as easily identified. Sometimes it may come and knock on the door, and it may be anger. It may be bitterness towards someone that's offended you or that's hurt you or that's taken something from you. There may come a knock at your door, and it may be immorality. And let me say to you today, dear folks, our world is literally putrefied with immorality. You say, well, he'll never come knocking my door. You better be right with God then. You better have a relationship with the Lord then, because if you don't, your walk with Christ, your outward appearance to the world is going to draw him. Just like it'll draw pride, just like it'll draw the vices, just like it'll draw anger and bitterness. But you know, sometimes a knock at the door, they come and they're dressed in a suit and tie. Who is it? It's the church. Oh, it's the church. So we open the door only to find out they ain't teaching the truth. You say, but But you don't understand, preacher, they had a Bible. So since when is carrying a Bible mean you're telling the truth? And, oh, by the way, those two boys that was at my door the other day, they had a King James Bible. Oh, then they must be telling the truth then. Well, how can they be telling the truth if they don't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God? How can they be telling the truth when the Bible teaches a literal hell and they teach that there's not a hell? You see, sometimes somebody's going to come knocking at your door, they're going to be dressed nice. They're going to talk nice, and they're going to say they're from the church. And you know what we're going to do? People open the door and welcome them right in. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Ted. They were such nice people. They were so nice. May I say to you that if you know anything about the Scripture, you've understood that, you know, the devil is a master at camouflage. Matter of fact, so good at it that he even has those that he transforms into the angels of light. They appear to be telling the truth, but they're not. You say, oh, I'm going to bite my nails off being concerned about how am I going to tell the difference. All you have to do, folks, is line it up with what Jesus said. And if what they're saying is controversial to what Jesus said, I'm taking Jesus, right? It's very simple. Very simple. Now, always identify who's at the door. Number two, never open the door to strangers. Now, here's the third thing I want to give you. Jesus will be the most frequent person knocking your door. Jesus will be the most frequent person knocking your door. May I say to you that Jesus is no stranger? Let me prove that to you. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. To the believer, Jesus is no stranger. John chapter 10 and verse number 4. John 10 and verse 4. Look at verse 3. Let me jump back up to verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's the reason when the knock's coming, you need to make sure you identify who it is and you don't open the door to strangers. You don't open the door to strangers. Jesus is no stranger. Hey, he knows your every need. He knows your every hurt. He knows your every desire. He knows your faults. He knows your failures. He knows your financial problems, your family problems. Hey, he knows everything about us. He's no stranger. He's going to be the most frequent person knocking your door. So what's he knocking for, preacher? Well, first of all, he's knocking for sacrifice. He wants us to sacrifice. Sacrifice what? How about time so we can have a relationship with him? How about just knocking and say, hey, you got time for me? Well, let's see here. Let me see. The person who saved my soul from going to hell, let's see where I can put them on my list of importance. He better be number one. Because you know what he's knocking for? He's knocking for us to make sacrifice. He's knocking for us so that we might have a relationship with him. To get rid of self and focus on the most important things in life, and that's a relationship with God Almighty. He's knocking for sacrifice. He may be knocking for some of you today for service. See, this morning while I'm preaching, he's been knocking. He's been speaking. You know what our problem is? Our problem is not that Jesus is not knocking and Jesus is not speaking. The problem is we're not listening and we ain't answering. Go tell that preacher, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to come and answer the door. You see, for some this morning, he's knocking for sacrifice. Will you have a relationship with me? Some, he's knocking for service. Folks, we got places all over this church, ministries all over this church that need people to serve. Remember what I said right at the very beginning? We got too many celebrities and not enough servants. Oh, preacher, I'll serve, but what is it? Well, what does it matter if I'm a servant, right? Hey, if I'm going to serve, what does it matter if what the pastor wants me to do? What do you mean to do, preacher? I want you to work in the nursery. The nursery? That's it? That's all I get to do? No, I was just kidding. I want you to sit on the platform with us from now on. Oh, you want me to sit on the platform with you? When do I start? Can I start tonight, preacher? You see, we love that celebrity status, don't we? Totally contrary to what Jesus taught. Am I right? Totally contrary to the teachings and attitude of Christ. You see, he's knocking because you know what he wants from some of us? He wants some of us to serve. You see, he's knocking for sacrifice, a relationship from some. He's knocking for service for some. And then you know what? There's some here today he's knocking not for sacrifice, not for service. He's knocking for salvation. Hey, it's me. Me again. I already told you, Jesus. I'll get saved. Just give me some time. Hey, you don't have much time. Today's the day of salvation. You see, there may be some in here today that he's knocking not for sacrifice, not for service. He's knocking for salvation. You know how I know that? Because the Scripture says that God is not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know that word all means everyone. He wants everyone to be saved. Oh, I don't believe that, preacher. He don't want Osama bin Laden to be saved. Yeah, he does. Problem is, you don't want him to be saved. Amen. Am I right? The problem is not, it's not that God, the problem is we don't want him to be saved. We want him to go to hell. Look at what he did. He's responsible for thousands and thousands and thousands of people being killed. He deserves to go to hell. Better watch him words. How many people are you responsible for in hell? How many people am I responsible for dying and going to hell? You say, well, I ain't done anything. That's our problem. You ain't done nothing. And they went off to an eternity in hell. You see, he's knocking for some this morning to sacrifice. He just wants to have a relationship, folks. He's knocking on the door, the heart's door of some this morning for service. He just wants you to serve. Find a place in the church. Find your niche. You say, well, listen, preacher, I can't do a whole lot, but you can do something. And all we need to do is sit down and talk about what you can do, and we'll plug you in. You know what we're all about here? We're all about putting you in a place where you can succeed for Jesus, not fail for Him. We're going to put you in a place where you can succeed for the Lord. We don't want to put you in a place where you can't succeed. He's knocking on the door for some to serve. But for some, he's knocking for your soul, for salvation. Can I say to you one last time? Mama, someone's at the door. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you here this morning, you'd say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no question in my heart and my mind,